This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, this book of poetry, Launch an Attack. And the author is Ayanna Prudhomme. And Ayanna joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Ayanna.
Hi, how are you?
Great to have you with us all the way from East Trinidad. It's great with technology, can unite us for a few moments here. And you can share some of your poetry with us. This book, I mean, you're kind of a proactive person, that's for sure. You call your book a life-changing experience. It will revolutionize the course of your life. And, of course, we're talking about all coming from the Word of God, right?
Yes, yes. That's where it all starts, and that's where we have to continue to live and look to see where we can go forward. So we are excited about that.
So you were inspired to do this, as you put it, if you need direction, encouragement, answers, and progress, Launch an Attack is the right book for you. So before we hear some of your poems, Ayanna, tell us a little bit about your background and how this book of poetry came about.
Okay, well, I am by profession. I'm a primary school teacher. So we teach in Trinidad from ages 5 to about 11 plus at this level. So I've been in education for about 14 years now, but I've always liked poetry. I've been writing poems since I was a little girl. I find that poetry allows you to express yourself in ways that you could never. It's like your heartbeat, it's your passion. So I really love poetry. At the beginning of this year, I remember talking to God and saying, you know, Lord, I always use my poems to encourage, to motivate. You know, He inspires me to write them, and I just share them. The time comes when somebody says, you know, I have this problem or I'm going through this situation, and I say, you know what? Read this. See if it can help you. So at the beginning of this year, I was saying, Lord, what should I do to motivate people? I always like to encourage them and make them feel better. And He said, share your poems. So I'm like, but I do that already, you know. But He said, collect them, compile them, and share them. So that's just what I did. I obeyed the Holy Spirit, and that was passion. I just got up and I said, yes, so do this. How do I start? And I started researching, and I started speaking to people, and I got in contact with Westbow Press. And as you say, the rest is history.
Yes, the rest is history, and now we have this book of poetry written with a lot of passion. In fact, someone said passionate people can change the world for the better. I think you fit into that category.
Oh, yes, I do agree with that statement.
You know, you fit into that 1,000,000%. We'll just leave it there, that, you know, just a little bit. But, well, before we hear some of your poetry, again, share with us this statement and give us a little bit more for us to understand when you wrote, you will get through it with Christ. He is the way out of our despair. There's hope. Has he been a part of your life all your life?
Yes. Well, I accepted Christ at the age of 8. You know, my parents weren't saved. They weren't Christians, but my grandparents and my great-grandparents were. So we had this culture at home where my parents would send us to church. They won't go with us, but they will send us to church. And I always had that desire. I knew that I had God with me. And one day, at 8 years old, I decided to give my life to Christ, and I've never turned back. I just talking about Him gave me chills, because I know how much He loves me. I know what He has in store for me. You know, and I know that once we tell people and we show people through our lives who Christ is, you know, I don't believe that you talk about Him only, but you show them by the way you live. So just accepting Jesus was the beginning of my walk and the beginning of my true life. I can't say that we live. If we have Christ, we can't live. If we don't have him, I'm sorry. We must have Christ in order to live the life of abundance.
Well, let's hear from you. Let's have you read one of your poems. It's titled Victory.
Oh, yes. Now, I always believe that we have to look to the Word of God in order to know how to live. That's our manual. So a lot of times when I'm sitting there and I'm seeking the Holy Spirit, sometimes I'm listening to a word, somebody is preaching a word, or sometimes I'm reading the word, and then the Holy Spirit inspires me to write. So Victory is one of those poems where I was going through at that time, and the Lord just said, don't worry about it. Victory is yours in the name of Jesus. So let's say a victory. Victory. I have the keys to victory, and one of them is praise. No matter what you're going through, just let your voices raise. Another key to victory is the mighty word of God. So stand up and declare the double-edged sword. This special key to victory is just a little faith. Keep on hoping and believing, your miracle's not late. A mighty key to victory is that of prayer and fast. The blessings you've been waiting on is sure to come at last. A final key to victory is in his name and blood. You call this name at any time, he comes in as a flood. So the special door to victory belongs to you and me. You simply need to walk with him and use the victory keys. Praise the Lord.
Very well said, very well written. Certainly could feel that victory. Now, some of your inspiration also comes, you say, when you're listening to music.
Yes. Yes, some of my favorite people like Donnie McLaughlin. Some of my favorite people like CeCe and B.B. Winans. When I listen to gospel music, that's a word in song. It inspires me. It drives that passion within me even more. So it helps me a lot.
Well, this Launch and Attack, book of poetry, inspiring, powerful, dynamic. Please share another one with us, Ayana.
The next one we look at is I See Jesus. I see Jesus. I see Jesus when bills are due, sickness comes, storms arise, pressure creeps in, friends disappoint, my heart is broken, temptation is present, persecution hits. I need a friend. I've done my all. I'm blinded. Confusion starts. All else fails. I'm all alone. Troubles all around. No matter what comes, I see Jesus. My eyes are fixed on you, Jesus.
Very good. I see Jesus.
Yes, because sometimes we have so many problems going on around. But when we see him, it's all well and good. We know all things work out for our good in the end.
We all know the great story of Peter seeing Jesus walking on the water, and he walked on the water at least for a little while as when he kept his eyes on Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, great miracles can happen. Now, as you know, and I know this is in your heart, as you write about, so many people are looking for hope, a way out, and you know, and that's what you're trying to do here. You're trying to give people, at any moment, they could pull out your book and read one of your poems and feel something.
Yes, yes, and it's vivid. So it's not like a narrative where you have to sit down and read a lot. Sometimes you just need something to pick you up right then and there so that you can go and make your next step. And I think poetry is the perfect tool for that.
Well, one of your poems is right to the point. It's titled, It's That Simple. Boy, that can't be much more direct. It's that
All
simple,
right,
everyone.
Let's hear It's That Simple. It's that simple. Building a relationship is what I need to do, to talk to you and look to you in good and bad times too, to recognize you for who you are and say thanks for what you've done, to tell others of your greatness and of Jesus Christ, your Son. You lead me with your scepter. Now all belongs to me. Though the arrows point at me, I have the victory. Want what she's got? That's the cry of the people. Repent, confess, accept his Son. Yes, it's that simple.
What's the best way to get your book, Ayana? Launch an Attack. Launch an Attack, everyone.
Yes, Launch an Attack is very simple. It's available at all local bookstores. You can get it online. You can get it at West Book Press, at Amazon. Any Christian bookstore, it's available. You can also email me at ayana_prudham@yahoo.com. You can add me as a friend on Facebook. Soon we'll have our website available. So much is to come. Launch an Attack.
Before we say goodbye, Ayana, give us one more. I think you selected My Future you'd like to read to us.
Yes, sure. My Future. I look into my future, and this is what I see. Health, peace, and prosperity. Problems and trials coming from left to right. I see I'm victorious in this great fight. My children are grown and full of success. They are practicing love and won't settle for less. My husband has gotten wrinkles by his eyes, yet he's so handsome, so strong and wise. The world all around us has changed, oh, so vast. It resembles nothing of my precious past. Though it seems gloomy, helpless, and dread, I choose to look at its beauty instead. My strength and body is not what it used to be, but I'm blessed, at peace, and extremely happy. The sacrifices I'm making each night in prayer seem to have paid off, and my future is clear. I'm glad I've allowed him to always lead me, for my future seems secure, full of joy and mercy. By faith I stretch towards the prize, for I am the apple of my Father's eyes. Praise the Lord.
Well, all we can say is hallelujah. Great job, Ayana. Great job. And thank you so much for sharing your passion, your inspiration, your dedication. Launch an Attack,
thank you.
Everyone.
It is a pleasure to share Launch an Attack.
Thank you, Ayana Prudham. She is the poet and the publisher of her book, along with Westbo Press. Thank you, Ayana.
You're welcome.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, everybody. This is Pete Six of Beatles and Beyond. Why don't we all come together and hear some of the tracks off the latest Beatles release on this radio station? Yes, why don't you look up the schedules on this radio station and join me and Beatles listeners everywhere to hear the latest releases from the Beatles on Beatles and Beyond with Pete Dix.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Standing My Ground, memoir of a woman physician, and the author is Dr. Claire M. Callan. And Claire joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Archway Publishing. Hello, Claire.
Hello, Steve. Good morning.
Well, great to have you with us. This is a life's work. Your story, starting from those early years where you were born and raised in Ireland during World War II, that must have been the kind of experience that someone would never forget.
Well, it's amazing I remembered how much of it, because I hope I conveyed in the book that all that was going on in the rest of Europe, I was totally unaware of. It didn't really impact Ireland that much. The country was supposed to be neutral, and I think it was, but that, as I said, didn't stop the Germans' bombs straying over parts of Dublin from time to time.
So there were, I mean, you remember fear at times?
Not really, because I was so small, and the adults around me were always so calm and, you know, saying, oh, don't worry about it. We're okay here. You know, the Irish mentality, I guess, is that nothing bad is going to happen to us if we don't do anything wrong.
So this memoir spans 7 decades and starts as a schoolgirl in Ireland. So, you know, what was that like going to school at that time? What kind of family support did you get? I mean, what were you hearing back then about your future? Do you remember any of that?
Well, school, it was very different then than it is today. I mean, our schools, I went to an all-girls school, had little to do with boys until I got to college. The nuns were our teachers, and they were very strict disciplinarians. I went to the Holy Child Convent. It was a new school, and it had been started by the founder of the Holy Child, who actually was an American woman. And so we were trained to go to school, do our homework. Our schoolwork was very intense. It was 5.5 days a week, you know, Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 4, and Saturday, 8:30 to 12:30. And every night, even the little ones had 2 hours of homework. And we carried a heavy workload. We had 6 subjects, you know, and I look today at what the 2 children are doing, and it doesn't seem like they do anything as much as we did when we were going to school. But to us, it was normal, so we just knuckled down and did it. Being an all-girls school, perhaps there wasn't as much competition as if there had been mixed, you know, boys and girls, but I don't know because I never experienced that. But it was very formative. The nuns were disciplinarians and taught us discipline and how to obey orders and to basically toe the line and not step outside the boundaries that they set for us, which was a little difficult for me as I got into the business world because I found that that was not always the best approach.
But as you look back on your early school, kind of set the pace for, looked like your whole life. Here was this strict discipline laid out by the nuns, which you learned how to study and you learned how to apply yourself that really laid the basis for your whole life.
Yes. Yes, I think that's very true.
So when did you know that you wanted to become a doctor?
I was 7 years old, and I don't know what inspired me, but that's when I decided one day that that's what I was going to be, and I never deviated from that. I don't know if it was when I went to my mother's graduation as a physician, whether that inspired me or not. But anyway, I know that I never varied from that decision. So it's a little strange that I so badly wanted to be a physician, and yet I didn't stick to the clinical path. I deviated into the business side of medicine, you know, about 6 or 7 years after graduating. So that's a little strange to me.
But during all of this, you were a stay-at-home mom.
Yes, no. Yes, I was. And that was challenging also because since we had come over to the United States from Ireland, we didn't have the family support that I would have had if I was back in Dublin, you know, with sisters, et cetera, around to help with the children. So that was always a challenge to make sure I had adequate child care available when I needed it, because I had to go to the hospital or I had to go and do something else. So it worked. I found some very reliable babysitters who fortunately were usually there when I needed them or the children needed them, and it worked. I used to divide my life up when the children were small. I used to divide it up based on the school year. Like if we made it from the start of the school year to Halloween, that was a plus. And then the next thing, it was from Halloween to Christmas. That was a plus. You know, so I wasn't looking at the entire year as something I had to deal with. It was broken down into segments, and I think that made it much more manageable and much more doable.
So after you came to the United States, you weren't full-time in your medical profession?
After the first couple of years, yes. I had to get my license here in the States to practice medicine. And that took me about a year and a half to go through all of the hoops required with that, especially as a foreign medical graduate. But once I had my license, yes, I could work full-time.
You say that your volunteer work really helped you learn leadership skills, management skills.
It did. It was amazing. I guess... becoming a volunteer and being asked to assume various leadership roles and doing that and showing I could be effective that way, when I went back into the professional world, into management, I realized that it was just like being a leader in the community. So I'm always thankful that I got all of those leadership opportunities in the community because they really benefited me in the management world. And I hope that other women will realize that that's a good source of leadership training if they can't go off to management school somewhere. But if they're effective in their community, they'll be effective in their work, in their professional environment as well.
You were in the Army?
My husband was, so I consider I was too. he was drafted during... the Vietnam War, and we went, he was assigned to Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri. So we all went off with him, and I actually continued my volunteer work there, serving as a program chair for the Officers' Wives Club, which sounds a little strange, but it gave me great skills in planning how to implement programs.
Then you became the medical director for the Medicaid program for the state of Connecticut and wrote a very unique program. Tell us about that.
That was a fascinating job. I learned how really hardworking and intelligent state employees are. That was the first lesson I learned, you know, very often that people don't have a high impression of them. I was extremely fortunate in that my boss was very, very supportive, and he was always focused on trying to figure out how we could best provide services under the Medicaid program based on our budget allocations and what might be ways of streamlining services so that there would be more services for more people, but under a controlled way. So he asked me to think about how we could do something like that, try and innovate a program. And I must have read something somewhere about a gatekeeper program being a possible way of providing better services. So I mapped out what I thought could be an interesting program which would focus on patients being taken care of by primary care physicians primarily before going to specialists if needed, rather than the way it was at that time where if people wanted the services of, say, a neurologist or an orthopedist, they sometimes would decide to make an appointment by themselves and go, and that kind of care might not necessarily be what they needed. So that was the program I developed and presented to my boss, and he thought that this was a good thing to do, and then it was my job to go and sell it to the physicians of Connecticut, who hated the Medicaid program to start with. This just seemed like another bureaucratic idea that didn't have any value. But we persisted and introduced it, and then, of course, there was a change in the government system after an election, And my boss left and went to Washington, and shortly after that, I left and went to, I was asked to join Abbott Laboratories. So I'm not sure how the program did after I left. Possibly it didn't go far, but other states after that designed similar kind of gatekeeper programs. So it wasn't a, it might have been a way out idea, but it had potential.
Now, you were coming up in the business world at a time when women hit some walls of trying to get into upper management. Did you feel that pressure?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. When I joined Abbott Laboratories, I was in the hospital products division, which was a, which is now a over a couple of billion dollar division. There were only two other women in any of the management ranks, from manager all the way up to the top. So it, we were very conspicuous because there was only three of us, and it was difficult to be taken seriously by our male colleagues, especially those at the upper levels. So it was frustrating for all of us. But we all did pretty well over time. One was Joy Amundson, who became president of the international division, I think she ended up as. But anyway, we did feel the pressure, yes.
But persistence will always pay off.
If you have the guts and the desire to keep putting your head down and pushing, yes, it can.
So you have a very strong message to women to don't give up. Just have courage
absolutely.
And keep, you know, keep following their dreams.
Right, right. And never let anybody tell you you can't do it, because there's always a way.
Now, you had a special experience. It's called Servofluorine Venture?
Servofluorine, yes.
What? Give us briefly a little understanding of why that was so special to you.
Okay. Well, my specialty was anesthesia. And so I was always interested in possible anesthetic products. I was used to using inhalational anesthesia for patients, which means breathing it in. It's a nice way to get an anesthetic. And at the time that the Abbott was thinking about getting more into the anesthesia business, there was movement afoot outside to try and stop the number of inpatient or reduce the number of inpatient surgical procedures and move them to an outpatient environment as a way of controlling costs. So sevoflurane is an agent that is very, it acts very, very quickly. You can take one breath and you're asleep, and then when they stop, turn the gas off, you wake up immediately and you're bright. You're not, you don't have a feeling of being drugged, etc. So it was perfect for something that could be used in an outpatient environment. The patients could come in the day of the procedure, eliminating the need for preoperative stays. And then shortly after they recover from the anesthetic, they can go home. Being driven by somebody else, of course. So this drug seemed like it had a lot of potential for this new environment. But there was a competitive drug, which wasn't quite as good, which was being promoted by one of the experts in anesthesia. And he was convinced that sevoflurane was a dangerous product. There was a lot of conjecture that it might cause kidney damage because it was similar to another drug that had caused kidney damage. And so he was out there talking about how dangerous sevoflurane could be, and it should, he actually went to the FDA and protested there several times, saying it was such a dangerous drug it should never be approved. because of his strong feeling that it was dangerous, and of course I didn't want to really promote a drug that was dangerous, his resistance really forced us to go and do a lot of basic work that showed that in the hypothesis that sevoflurane was dangerous was not true, that it did not have an impact on the kidney. And it's been out there since 1992, and it's still out there. It's still the most widely used agent, inhalation agent in the world. And so to me, it was very satisfying to be able to stand my ground against this critic of the drug and show that basically I was right. My drug was safe. And he never backed down, but still the world of anesthesia out there recognized that it is a safe and useful drug. And so that was a significant achievement, especially since just as I started my work as venture head, the president of Abbott came up to me and congratulated me on my new role and said, "Now I want you to kill this drug as quickly as you can," which is not exactly the endorsement you expect when you're starting an exciting new project. But his message was, "I don't want to spend money on developing this if it's not going to be safe and effective in the marketplace." So fortunately, I was able to show that it was, or my team was able to show that it was.
Well, these are just a few of the experiences of Dr. Claire Callan. There are much more in her book, Standing My Ground, Memoir of a Woman Physician. Claire, tell us, what's the best way to get your book?
You can get it on Amazon or the Archway website, and I believe it's also on Barnes & Noble's website.
Thank you so much, Claire, for joining us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you, Steve, so much for asking me.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Archway Publishing.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Hello, everyone. We're so glad you could join us today here on the Indie Book Publishing line, courtesy of Balboa Press. We have a very interesting book to talk about today. The name of the book is Speak Your Truth: How You Can Recover from Lupus. The author of that is Denise Dorfman, and she joins us from her home in Virginia today. Hello, Denise. How are you today?
I'm okay. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Terrific. Well, before we get started here, Denise, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was diagnosed with lupus at age 30 after suffering from mental illness and seizures for about 14 years. I've just been working in the corporate world all my life having this disease, this lupus, for about 18 years. And I had discovered self-help and then metaphysics, and I learned that affirmations and taking care of yourself were the answer to recovering from lupus. And And I learned that the probable mental cause of lupus was a refusal to stand up for oneself. So after a few years of doing affirmations, my doctor confirmed what I had already known, that I had no active disease and had had it for several years. I ended up changing my health attitude towards health and disease in general, and I believe that anyone can recover from lupus by doing what I did, no matter how long they've had the disease or how severe it is.
Denise, let's back up just one step. Tell us a little bit about lupus for those who are listening today that may not know a great deal. We've probably all heard the name lupus, but tell us a little bit about lupus.
Well, lupus is an autoimmune disease where the immune system attacks itself. It kind of gets confused. It doesn't know the difference between an antibody and an antigen. You end up, with sicknesses. You end up kind of getting sick and feeling tired all the time. When the person first has symptoms, they have joint pain because the inflammatory response kicks in. And for me, especially, I had a hard time moving my fingers and they hurt. Often the white blood count and the red blood count will be low, and the platelet count will be low. Your lab work is very abnormal, and that's usually you get referred to a rheumatologist when you're diagnosed, and it takes a while to be diagnosed with lupus.
So you started to just kind of briefly give us an idea of what's in your book and some of your ideas. I'm going to take it, as you mentioned, it's alternative kind of thoughts of how to treat lupus. How traditionally does medicine doctors treat people with lupus?
Well, there's unfortunately there's no cure for lupus, and there's not a whole lot they can do. They can give you anti-inflammatory medications and steroids, such as Plaquenil and prednisone, I believe that those are the only medicines that I know of that are commonly used in treating lupus. And it's a lot of monitoring, and I know my rheumatologist said I should exercise and get plenty of rest, because you really need to take care of yourself very well if you have lupus.
So what led you to this idea, Denise, and I'm trying to find a way to describe it. You were doing it so well earlier, where you believe there was a different way. What light went off, so to speak, that you went, maybe this is a way that, at least for me, I can treat my lupus?
Well, I learned about the whole mind and body connection through Louise Hay and her book, You Can Heal Your Life. And she believes that every person creates every illness in their body. That the same mind that creates illness can create wellness. So when I read her book, I realized that it just kind of resonated with me. And I said, yes, these ideas sound right. And I just had an intuitive feeling that it just felt right. And so I just started applying her her philosophies and her ideas. She feels that, affirmations can combat illness, and you can recover from even lupus. She believed that lupus was a disease of kind of a refusing to stand up for yourself, and better to die than to stand up for yourself. So I discovered that in my childhood that I never did stand up for myself, and I was always the child that was picked on, and even into adulthood I was kind of bullied and not very assertive. And when I started doing the affirmation, the new thought pattern that Louise Hay outlined in her book for lupus, I noticed that I started to respect myself more and started commanding respect from others. And I started standing up for myself and speaking up for myself and asking for what I wanted at work, as well as defending myself against anybody that would attack me or and I noticed, you know, soon after that my symptoms of lupus started to go away and I started feeling better. And that was when my rheumatologist declared I had no active disease. So and I was feeling very good. He confirmed what I had already pretty much knew, that I had no symptoms and no active disease. So he just told me to just keep doing what you're doing, because I was doing so well with it.
Again, the name of the book we're talking about today is Speak Your Truth, How You Can Recover from Lupus. The author is Denise Dorfman, and she joins us today on the Balboa Press Line. So, Denise, is your book, kind of documenting what you went through? Describe what people are going to find as they go through the pages in your book.
Yes, it does describe what I went through and document it. And it also tells you how to kind of apply these principles that I learned in your own life, saying these affirmations in front of the mirror and, you know, saying them before you go to bed at night, and so that it, you know, you go into your subconscious mind, and just learning to stand up for yourself, and how you can, you know, really manifest wellness in your life and feel better. And I also go into how to take care of yourself, the kind of diet that's good for people suffering from lupus, an anti-inflammatory diet, as well as, you know, good health care practices, you know, to keep yourself healthy and well.
So is this something that a person would need to do, Denise, on a regular basis, say like taking medication? I mean, that with the affirmations in this mental aspect of what you're describing, is that a daily routine?
Yes, it's pretty much when you get up in the morning, you know, say these affirmations in the mirror, and say the affirmation before you go to bed at night, and just keep repeating it over and over again, and start standing up for yourself more, and start, you know, kind of acting on these, kind of acting it out and doing these affirmations, and you'll find, you know, people that have a hard time standing up for themselves and being assertive, they'll find how easy it is to stand up for yourself. But, you know, as soon as you defend yourself, people tend to back down and they tend to respect you more. And I think the more you just keep doing that more and more, and eventually you'll find that your symptoms will subside. At least that's what happened with me, and that's how I recovered from lupus.
It sounds like to me, Denise, and I haven't been through obviously what you have, but it sounds like to me maybe the most difficult thing is getting started. Do you give folks some ideas in your book of how to start this process?
It's just a matter of, you know, writing it in the morning, maybe writing it down 10 or 20 times every morning, and kind of in your, you know, at the breakfast table. That's how I got started. I just started writing down the affirmation 10 or 20 times in the morning, and then just kind of repeated it every time I thought of my disease, and every time I felt afraid to stand up for myself, I would just affirmed myself. I speak up for myself freely and easily. I claim my power. I love and approve of myself. I am free and safe. And I just, you know, whenever I thought of, you know, whenever I felt bad or whenever I felt afraid to stand up for myself, I would just, and the affirmation is calming and really helped me to have the courage to just start standing up for myself.
So I'm curious, what did your doctor say when you went back? Your lupus seemed to be in remission, if that's the correct word for lupus.
Yeah.
What did the doc say?
Well, he just was amazed, and he said, you know, I wish I could take credit for this, but I can't, you know, because I all I did was prescribe Plaquenil for you and examine you, and he said, you're really one of my success stories, and just keep on doing what you're doing, because he was amazed, and he just said, you've had no active disease, you know, for several years now. So he was really amazed, but he didn't really know what happened, because I never really told him.
Again, the name of the book we're talking about today is Speak Your Truth, How You Can Recover from Lupus. The author is Denise Dorfman. Denise, how difficult was it to write a book? I mean, this has to be really personal for you. How difficult was it to sit down and write this thing in a book?
Well, you know, it did take some getting over the fear, because you're kind of, you know, I was kind of putting myself out there, kind of vulnerable, you know, opening myself up. But I just sat down and sat down on my laptop and started writing. And that's what a friend of mine wrote a book as well. And she just said, just start writing. Just sit down, start writing, and before I knew it, I had a 100-page book, and I did a lot of revisions and editing, and I don't know. I think as I was writing, I kind of got over the fear of putting myself out there.
So what is your hope, Denise? What is it that you're hoping when people pick up a copy of Speak Your Truth, How You Can Recover from Lupus? What is it that you're hoping that they come away with?
I really hope that they will, you know, believe that it is possible to recover from lupus through affirmations, and that it does not matter how severe your illness or how long you've lived with it. You can recover, or at least get better, through affirmations and through the way you live, and the way you take care of yourself. And I really want as many people to know about this as possible, because you know, people really suffer with this disease. People are hospitalized every few months with, you know, either kidney disease, you know, which is another symptom of lupus, or they, you know, they have to stop working, and they go on disability because they can't work, and they feel they don't feel productive. They don't feel like they contribute, and it's just such a insidious disease, you know, and it can really upset your life. And if I can, you know, if I can cause, you know, if I can help people to lead more productive and happier lives, and to get well through affirmations, I'll feel like that's kind of the goal of the book, is to help as many people suffering from lupus as possible.
Again, the name of the book is Speak Your Truth, How You Can Recover from Lupus, written by Denise Dorfman. She is with us today on the Balboa Press Line. Denise, I know the book's only been out, the beginning of May. Tell us where folks can go and learn more, maybe find a copy of your book.
You can actually go on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. It's also available in bookstores, as you know, Barnes and Noble bookstores, and you can. It's probably, yeah. Those are the main venues where you would go to find my book.
Now, if folks wanted to learn more about you, Denise, do you have a website, a blog, Facebook, someplace people could go and learn more about you?
Yes, I have a blog on WordPress, and I have a Facebook page. You can like my Facebook page. The Facebook page is called Speak Your Truth, And Denise Dorfman is the author, and you can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is Denise799 on Twitter, and you can follow me and like my Facebook page.
Well, it sounds like an interesting book. I think especially helpful for the people who are facing lupus in their life. Again, the name of the book we've been talking about today, Speak Your Truth, How You Can Recover from Lupus. The author is Denise Dorfman. Denise, thank you so much for being with us today, and good luck with your book.
Thank you so much for having me. All right.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.